2 Chronicles 32, if you find your place there, if you'd stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God, we'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 32 and in verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we thank you this morning that truly you are enough. God, you're far more than we deserve. And Lord, you certainly are able to more than encompass anything we could ever need. God, I pray this morning that you would speak to each of our hearts. And Lord, as we examine the life of Hezekiah here, that every one of us, men, women, young and old alike, would leave here today desiring to emulate some of the characteristics as laid out in his life here in our passage before us this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Knowing that God wants us all to be strong in the Lord, realizing that this is a lifelong task for the child of God, we're going to take the next couple of months to see examples of those who have demonstrated the truth of this principle. Some of you may recall the famous book that President John F. Kennedy wrote entitled Profiles in Courage. I am entitling this sermon series Profiles in Strength. As we look at different men and women in the scriptures, the way in which they sought to use the strength of the Lord, either by walking in that strength or even in some cases by rejecting that strength. But this morning we're looking at the life of Hezekiah as a man who found strength against the foe. By way of background, it is interesting to note that Hezekiah did not come from an ideal family. In fact, he came from a rather wicked background. His father Ahaz, king of Judah, according to chapter 28, did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He made images for the children of Israel to engage in idolatry. He participated in the abominations of the heathen by even burning some of his children in the fire. The chapter further states that under his rule, the children of Judah offended against the Lord in chapter 28 and in verse 13. And as a direct result of his wickedness, the Bible says the Lord brought Judah low. Thankfully, when we come to the life of Hezekiah, it's as if it were a breath of fresh air. Because we see here Hezekiah, rather than trying to excuse himself and saying, "Well, I didn't come from a great righteous background. I didn't have a king that was standing forth on the principles of the Word of God. So therefore, I am justified in following in my father's footsteps." Thankfully, that was not the attitude of Hezekiah. Thankfully, he didn't go back and say, "Well, how did you expect me to be different? All I had exemplified and modeled before me for decades was nothing but idolatry, was nothing but him who would abandon the principles of the law of the Lord, and he who would seek to go and cause the even very people of God to go astray from God's perfect will. But Hezekiah came, and the Bible tells us that he brought reform to the land, that he took action, that he was very mindful of God's holy law and realized the standards by which he was to judge himself were not the standards of his father, but rather the standards of his heavenly father. And as a result, the Bible says that he cleaned up the land. He cleaned up the house of the Lord. He got rid of the idol worship that was there, and he began to instill again the true worship of the one true living God. I'm grateful this morning that you and I, in 2011, have absolutely no excuse for not seeking to be just like Hezekiah was. I'm grateful this morning that when we examine why it was that God used him and how it was that God used him, that God can use you and me today if we will learn from the lessons of the strength against the foe. We think of strength, and in this specific situation here, we realize that strength, first of all, requires an assessment. An assessment. And that is that Hezekiah assessed the situation that was before him. We read here in verse 1, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Now we have to keep in mind again that the type of city, the type of living that the children of Judah and the children of Israel were engaged in was totally foreign to our concept today. Having the privilege 3 years ago of going to the Holy Land and of being able to see, obviously, ruins and not quite exactly the way it was in this day and age, nevertheless provided in my mind's eye a little bit more of a visual image of what it was like. These were fortified cities. That is, they were walled cities. We think of the story of Jericho. We talk about the walls that came down. And we realize that it was not just a city like you and I would think of today, where you may go from Burke to Fairfax Station to Springfield to Alexandria and you haven't even realized it. There hasn't been an entryway. There's no gate. There's no, if you would, line of demarcation that is there, but you simply flow from one right into the other. That's not the way it was in Bible times. And this Sennacherib here was seeking to establish himself as the most powerful entity in the Middle East during this period of the history of mankind. His kingdom was rapidly expanding. And it's interesting to note that when he would go through and would conquer other towns, his desire was not to go through necessarily and kill people, but rather to get them to pay him tribute. Which is exactly what he's referring to here at the end of this verse, where it says he thought to win them for himself. So he had an underlying motive there for going out and conquering. It wasn't just so that he could be thought of as having the largest kingdom at that time, but it was so that he could get some payback. So that he could get some more taxes, so that he could have some more people out there. And without delving too much into politics, you have to wonder if we're in the same situation today. You know, getting some more taxes, getting some more people out there who can fess up a little bit more and enlarge the treasuries of the king. But here we see God's man, Hezekiah, was not going to succumb to the attacks of the enemy. He realized what was going on, and he was very much aware that the rate at which Sennacherib was moving, the cities that he was conquering, that Jerusalem was within his eyesight, as it were. That Jerusalem would certainly be one of the next towns that Sennacherib would seek to come after. And we see here that Hezekiah came. And the Bible says that he saw that Sennacherib was come, but he also saw the motive that was taking place. He realized that Sennacherib was bent on coming and fighting against Jerusalem. But you know, a lot of times what happens in our spiritual lives today is we don't stop and take the time to assess who the enemy is. You know, we go out and for some reason we think, well, you know, yes, I can be a strong Christian. Yes, I can be more than victorious. But we don't stop to think, what are the attacks that I may encounter? What are the ways in which I need to make myself more strong in the Lord so that I can be all that God wants me to be? But he assessed the situation, and of course the wonderful part is that he assessed it ahead of time. He didn't wait until it was too late. The Bible says that he prepared for the attack. He did this, first of all, by his words. The Bible says in verse 3 that he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. There is a river that goes through and is the spring of Gihon, G-I-H-O-N, that flows through and would come through the valley there, and that would be the source of water for all of the conquering armies or any of the people that would come into that area. Well, here Hezekiah realized that if these armies were going to come in, they were obviously going to try and need water. They were going to try and get the water from this spring. So he developed a plan by which he was able to cut off the water supply so that it would stop within the confines of the city of Jerusalem and would not proceed down into the valley and would not provide, therefore, the sustenance for the conquering armies. And it's very interesting today to realize that back in the late 1800s, they did in fact discover the very tunnel that was built by Hezekiah. And those of us that had the opportunity of going to the Holy Land 3 years ago got to see remnants of that still in existence today. But the feat that he accomplished here was a rather amazing one, because not only did he have to cover up the parts of the stream so that it would not go onto those that would be outside the confines of the city of Jerusalem, but also it required that he literally tunneled through sections of rock. And they were able to see through some of the engravings on the sides of the tunnel walls when it was discovered in the late 1800s, the tactic that was employed, where they had workers coming from both sides of the stone working until they came and eventually met in the middle and were able then to have more than sufficient water for the entire city of Jerusalem and no amount of water for those that would be outside the city of Jerusalem who would come seeking to conquer them. But the Bible says that he prepared for the attack by his words and by his works. Not only do we think in terms of stopping all the fountains that were there and seeking to make it so that the enemy would not have the water. But the Bible also says that he built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers. Again, we have to keep in mind we're talking about walled cities, a very high wall. And that wall, either through prior conquests of other kings that had come through, had either been destroyed that way or simply over time it had become fallen down. But regardless of how it came that way, he was concerned with seeking to build up that wall. And so he made it secure. He was preparing for the attack of the enemy. And I would ask you this morning, what are the weak areas in your life that need to be reinforced? Now, all of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves, can certainly think of areas in our lives where we do have struggles, where we haven't gotten the victory, where everything isn't exactly what it should be. And your weakness may be different than your spouse's weakness. My weakness may be different than your weakness. But all of us need to take time to examine our lives and say, God, is it the thought life? Have a struggle with anger? Is it fear? Worry? Do you have a problem with pride? Are you a little bit too independent? Not willing to be dependent upon God? What are those weak areas there that you could come back and say, Lord, I know this is an area where the devil is going to seek to attack me, and God, I want to do everything I can ahead of time to shore up, as it were, those areas in my life where the devil could very easily get his foot in the door of my heart. And we think about he prepared for the attack through his words. He prepared for the attack through his works, but also he prepared for the attack through the weapons. Through the weapons. The Bible says there at the end of verse 5, they repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And the word darts there is simply referring to swords and all types of weapons. It's not referring exclusively to a dart that you would think of being thrown or an arrow. But you know what's interesting here is he made sure that the weapons were plentiful. You know, he wasn't concerned with just having a few weapons out there. The Bible says in abundance. And he also made sure that the weapons were accessible. He knew that this battle, he knew that this struggle, he knew that this enemy that was coming to try and conquer them was coming well prepared. And so he wanted to do his part to make certain that the children of Judah were equally prepared for this attack and that they had the right words, that they had the right work, and that they had the right weapons. And I'm grateful today when we think about the way in which you and I can defend ourselves from the enemy, that our greatest weapon is found in the Word of God. Amen. But you know, it's very easy for any of us to not spend the necessary time really seeking to sharpen this weapon and to commit more of this weapon to memory so that we have it and are able to wield this sword every time the enemy comes. You say, well, how can I have more weapons when I only have one Bible? You can learn more scripture verses and commit them to memory so that when the devil comes and attacks you, you're not just simply going back with one scripture verse, but you're going back with a dozen scripture verses. That it's not just a matter of, well, I hope he doesn't attack me in this other area because I don't know where I would go for help on that. But it's a matter of thinking, okay, God, I know I have a weakness here in this area of my life. I know this is a foe that is easily identifiable in my spiritual life. And so, God, I want to make certain that I am doing everything I can to spend as much time possible on a daily basis meditating in the Word of God so that my weapon is always accessible and that my weapon is always capable of being used against the foe. You see, that foe is out there. I have the foe. You've got the foe. Every single child of God has the foe. But thank God we can be strong against the foe as you and I learn to prepare, to make the proper assessment. And of course, when we think about this matter of being strong, as is clearly mentioned here, it's a personal decision, which is why it says he strengthened himself. But we think of this as the proper assessment. And you know, it's important for every single one of us, as we were talking this morning in foundations and just reflecting on the roles of the husband and wife in the home, it's important that every one of us as children of God, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, are honest with ourselves. Because it's very easy to go around with some high and mighty attitude and act as though, I don't have any weaknesses. You don't understand. I've been saved for 10 years. Oh, you don't understand. I went to a Christian college. I went to a Christian high school. You don't understand. I was raised in a Christian home. None of that matters if I'm not being honest before God and saying, Lord, I know there's some areas that are not quite all that they need to be. God, I know there's some areas here where I really am not quite the husband you want me to be, the father you want me to be, the child of God that you want me to be. Lord, I know when I have difficulties at work, I tend perhaps to not handle the situation appropriately. God, I want to be made strong in those areas so that this week that I will handle the crisis in a Christ-like fashion. No, and we think about the Word of God. This is not Sunday's book. This is the book for every day of my life. This is the book that I am to truly be going to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and never getting tired of. But always going back and saying, Lord, what more is there in here for me? I love being able to go through and read God's Word and to mark the ways in which God speaks to me. And the wonderful thing is, you can take the same passage of Scripture, and if you're truly asking for the Holy Spirit to guide you and to fill you, and you can read that passage 10 times or 20 times and find 10 different things or 20 different things from it. Because we're talking about the Word of God. We think of strength as not only requiring assessment, but also requiring action. You see, here, he tells the people, we have to be strong and courageous. He had confidence, but where did this confidence come from? Was this something that just happened overnight? No, if you'll look back at the end of chapter 31, the Bible says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in verse 21 now, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Where did this confidence come from that Hezekiah had in knowing that Sennacherib, with his 185,000 men, far outnumbering the children of Judah, was not going to be victorious over Jerusalem? It came from a life lived according to the principles of the law of God. And because he was able to look back and he was able to reflect on how God had guided him, he was able to reflect on the way in which God's principles had been lived out, and God's promises had been fulfilled to him personally, he was ever confident that God was going to continue to be with him as he continued to follow God's plan for his life. And of course, as he had that confidence, then it was a confidence that was contagious as he was able to share that with the people. He realized at the same time the folly of trusting in his strength alone. As Jeremiah reminds us, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Pretty strong words, but very simple to understand. You see, if I try and do things on my own, even as a child of God, even though I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I am still capable of going out and trying to do things in the strength of the flesh. But when I go out that way, I don't have the strength of the Lord, and I will not attain unto the victory that God wants to give me. Amen. So we think about this matter of being strong in the Lord. Yes, there are plenty of foes that are out there. You're going to face foes this afternoon. You will face foes tomorrow. You will face a foe literally every day until you enter the presence of the Lord. But you can be strong against the foe every single day if you go back to God and you ask the Lord to make you strong according to his word. We think of the strength there requiring assessment, the strength requiring action and going and sharing his confidence with others. We also realize that strength requires us to have the right accuracy when we talk about what we see. Our spiritual vision, our spiritual sight. You see, if I am strong in the Lord, if I am truly depending upon God to help me every day of my life, then I can see what mere human strength cannot see. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We think about being made strong. We realize there's plenty of things out there that could cause weakness in any of us. But it's important for us that the more I derive strength from God, that I realize, wait a minute, now I can see how God is at work in a way that I was not able to appreciate and understand prior to depending upon the Lord. 1 John 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, Hezekiah was living hundreds of years before this was ever penned by John. Nevertheless, Hezekiah was able to say to all of the children of Judah, "There be more with us than with that guy, Sennacherib." And what God is telling you and me today, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, and we think about the devil. We think about all of the fallen angels, the hosts that he has that are out there seeking to do evil every moment of the day. There's a lot out there. You'd be a fool to say there's not. But if you have the strength of the Lord, you have far more strength than the devil and all of his minions will ever be able to comprehend. Because it doesn't come from you, it comes from God. You see, others, when you have the proper vision, will be encouraged when you share with them the words of the Lord. You know, it's so wonderful when we think about going and being with others who may find themselves in difficult situations, and you say, "Oh, if I just had the right words, if I just knew how to comfort them, if I just knew how to encourage them, if I just knew what to say." Well, let's look back here. Here the children of Judah are very nervous. They're very scared. And he comes back to them and he tells them, "We don't have to worry about this." And the Bible says here in verse 6 that he set captains of war over the people. He gathered them together and he spake comfortably to them. Then he tells them, "Listen, be strong, courageous, don't be afraid. There's more with us than with him." And then look at the very end of verse 8. "And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." They were nervous. They could see the destruction that Sennacherib had caused. They knew the cities that were being conquered by him. They realized, hey, we're right in his flight path. He's headed straight for us. But because Hezekiah made them mindful of who their God was, because Hezekiah made them mindful of who was on their team, they were able to find comfort and rest. And you think about all of the turmoil in this life in which each one of us finds ourselves. If we but go back and remember who our God is and cling to the words of the Lord, we can find that rest for our souls. Now, you may have a very hectic work environment. You undoubtedly go through quite an interesting traffic pattern on a daily basis when you go to work. But let's just remember one thing. God is always with us. God will give us the strength that we need. And I can calm myself down every time I put myself in mind, who is my God? Who is out there with me? Others will be encouraged when you share with them the words of the Lord. Of course, we realize that this was something that he had learned early in his life, which was why it said there in the last verse of the prior chapter that in what he did in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. You see, by putting his trust in the word of the Lord, in that law, in those commandments, with all of his heart, he enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. He did prosper. Look down in verse 30 of chapter 32. The Bible says, "This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works." And of course, the wonderful thing is he was able to lead others then by the same principle. The Bible says there that he spake comfortably to them. It literally means he spoke to their heart. When we think of what God is going to accomplish, we'll realize also, if we have that strength against the foe, that God's ways will amaze us. You see, God is with us to help us. Verse 8, the Bible says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. I'm so grateful that our God is always mindful of every single one of us and knows our needs if we but trust in him. Remember years ago going to Latin America for one of the first times in one of our teen group trips and realizing, you know, what would you do in another environment where you don't speak the language and you need help? So one of the words that we taught all of the teens that were going on that trip was how to cry for help, and it's the word socorro. And you know, you think, if you're there and you're in a desperate situation and people are speaking a different language and you're saying, help, help, help. You know, they're thinking, what's he saying? You know, he's just discovered a gold mine. I mean, is he over here talking about, hey, he's doing great? You have no way of knowing what he means. But isn't it wonderful that our God knows exactly what we need? He knows exactly what our concerns are, and he is more than capable to supply and satisfy every need that you or I may ever have. You see, God wants to help us, but he also wants to fight for us. As Asa reminded himself, he said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. In 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. Reminded of the statement that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. made many years ago, God and you are a majority in your community. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. You know, I'm the only saved person in my office. You say, you don't understand. I have an unsaved spouse. I'm the only saved person in my home. If you walk with God, there is no foe that can outnumber you. It's not going to happen. But again, that's through the spiritual sight. That's through learning to look through the world with God's eyes. And to see those that are around us. Think of that hymn of the standing on the solid rock and saying there, we dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, it's not a matter of trusting in man. It's a matter of trusting in our Maker, trusting in our God. But I would remind us in closing, as we think of Hezekiah and all that God accomplished, the fact that he was able to strengthen himself, to find the strength in the Lord, to go against the foe, but also strength requires consistency. And there did come a time when Hezekiah's strength was weakened. There did come a time when he did not lean on God as he had. There came a time when the prophet came to him and let him know that his life was coming to an end. But then, thankfully, in verse 26, the Bible says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. You see, once he acknowledged his pride and sought forgiveness, the Lord chose not to pour out his wrath upon him. This morning, there's much for all of us to learn from the life of Hezekiah. What is your foe? What is the besetting sin? What is it that trips you up? What is that weak spot in your spiritual armor? You see, what we've got to do is we have to assess that. Don't get up and say, oh, preacher, I don't have any weakness. You're not being honest with yourself. Rather, get up and say, I've learned that through my weaknesses, I can have the strength of the Lord in those areas. Because of God's reinforcement and God's strength, I can be victorious in those specific ways. Maybe you haven't been honest with yourself. Maybe you haven't wished to acknowledge that weakness. Think about it. Okay, this is an area in my life I need some improvement on. All right, let me go to the Word of God this week and see what are some scripture passages that I can commit to memory that can help me in these areas of my life, that can help me to be more consistent, that can help me to have more of the strength of the Lord. How can I encourage my spouse to be made stronger in the Lord? How can I encourage my children to be made stronger in the Lord? And then share with others what God has taught you and say, hey, listen, we don't have to fret about this. Let me share with you what God has encouraged me in this area. And then your confidence in God can become contagious so that they will have a greater confidence in God. And they'll say, wow, if God's helping him through that, God will help me through that. If God's helping her in that way, God can help me in that way. If God is making himself real in his life, God can make himself real in my life. If God is giving him the victory in that area of his life, so too can the Lord give me that victory. But maybe this morning you do think of some areas in your life where you've begun to slip a little bit. Maybe like Hezekiah, there's been some really great mountaintop experiences where you've really been strong in the Lord, but now that strength is waning. Maybe you need to do like Hezekiah did and humble yourself and come before God here at this altar this morning and say, Lord, I really want to be made stronger. God, I thank you. I'm a part of your family, but Lord, I want to go beyond where I am right now. God, there's some struggles in my life, and I know it's not all that should be. But Lord, I don't want to make excuses for it any longer. I really want to confess it to you and humbly plead for more strength in those areas of my life. And of course, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll never know the strength of the Lord. Right. The only way you can know the strength of the Lord is by being born into God's family. And by acknowledging humbly before an almighty God that there is absolutely nothing that you can do to gain entrance into heaven. I'm saying, God, I don't have it. Lord, I'm a sinner. But God, I do believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I humbly confess my sins. I plead with him to forgive me of those sins. And then and only then can you begin to appreciate what the strength of the Lord is all about. So where are you this morning? You come to put your trust in the Word of the Lord by receiving Christ as your personal Savior? If you've been born into his family, are you finding strength in the Lord? Has your testimony this past week exuded confidence in an all-powerful God? Remind us of what Paul told us. If God be for us, who can be against us?